At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Some secrets are kept in the basement, others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
My other question on this, and you'd mentioned it earlier, why did it take law enforcement so long to investigate this? And I know someone just said he disappeared, but I mean, you said your wife disappeared tomorrow. You'd have authorities at your house. They'd be looking for something.
I mean, no question.
What was there? I mean, is there something behind the scenes here that we're suspicious about, where it's like, is there some sort of connection as to why somebody's holding them off? Is there any signs of that like we've seen in some other cases, or is it just bad police work?
I don't think it was bad police work. They didn't know he was necessarily missing because nobody reported him missing. Like, that's the mystery of this, is like how family, like, and I'm talking about Michael's family, wasn't like suspicious enough to call law enforcement and be like, yo, like, it is unlike my son or my brother to just fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that. That's the part of it that I just had a really hard time like comprehending, like why, like you said, if anybody in my family, I don't care if I haven't talked to them in 10 years.
Yeah.
I find out that they've just vanished, you know, and especially if it's a sibling, even if I'm no longer talking with my sibling and, you know, there's some kind of issue with a relationship. Like, why in the world wouldn't somebody be questioning it? Especially if it was like my sibling or my kid, I'd be like, what do you mean you just fell off the face of the earth? That makes no sense. Like, I want to talk to you. Pick up the phone. I'm calling you.
Yes.
Or where are you at? I'm coming to see you. You know, it's like, that doesn't happen for 3 years until this buddy who hears something from his ex-girlfriend, who's still friends with Lori Shaver, who said something to the effect that, you know, Michael no longer walks this earth. That was finally the thing that got somebody to call in and say, hey, do a wellness check. So, and then it took 2 years because that's what I'm saying. It's not an open and shut case in terms of the evidence. You know, common sense tells us what happened here, but common sense, you need more in a trial to convict somebody in order to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Is it a battered spouse thing? You know, where... I mean, that sounds like that could be playing part of it.
It could have been.
Honestly, it's not that. I mean, in today's world, where people have access to weapons and they have them out there in dumb places.
It was a combative relationship.
Yeah.
There was testimony and evidence that, you know, there were injunctions put into place. There was violence in the relationship.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she elected not to do that. And when she came up with the I didn't shoot him story, my daughter did it. You know what I'm saying? It's like that battered spouse syndrome thing wasn't a thing here because she wasn't claiming it was self-defense. She's claiming she didn't shoot him. That's what I'm saying. It gets really weird.
I'm wondering if like they're injecting more to the story to make it more, I don't know, to take some of the blame off of the daughter. Like, that's why the boyfriend's in there, because their thought process is, we don't want the daughter to, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's very weird. I mean, I could see it actually happening in a sort of way. My thought would be, did the rest of the family know that that's what happened? And everybody, including his family, just agree to say, look, he was an abuser. Your granddaughter shot him. And we'd like to just say he ran away because it might be probable that he's a shitty person and might do something like that. And everybody's just like...
That's essentially what the defense is arguing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that Lori was shielding her daughter.
Yeah.
But, like, how does that factor in with the Jeremy Townsend issue, though?
That's right. Like, to put too much on the scale, almost like what I wonder about with, like, the Karen Reed trial, where it's like, you didn't need to put more shit on the scale over here to weigh this down. There's enough evidence to point to what actually happened.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Well, this is... Yeah. This is going to be a fascinating one.
It's an interesting one. Man.
It sounds like it could end. Obviously, you watched it much closer than I did, but it just kind of has a feeling of like, is this going to be a hung jury? Is it that confusing?
All it takes is one.
Yeah.
All it takes is one. I mean, we'll know. We'll know pretty quickly. Like, I know. I have a friend who's sitting there in court, and she said that the jury asked for a whiteboard right away. So, I mean, they're going to go back there and they're going to deliberate, which is what we want jurors to do. Yes,
of course.
We've talked about this before. Like, we're always like, oh, yeah, they're going to come back in an hour. Well, we don't want that, really.
No.
We want people to carefully consider all the facts and all the evidence. We want them to work it out back there. We want them to actually deliberate. And, you know, I mean, I think this is a weird enough case to where just the discussion itself, once they start chatting about it, is going to be a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, there's bound to be one devil's advocate back there, you know, who's like, but what about this?
Yeah.
Like the defense attorney is who, you know, he sounded like Hank Hill from King of the Hill. You know, he's like, well, Bobby, he's like, what would Mr. Wiggs do? You know, so I'm like, you know, I'm like, so like one juror is going to say, what would Mr. Wiggs do back there? You know, when kind of questioning the evidence, like that they're missing a lot of evidence. They don't have key components to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Lori Shaver committed this crime. Yes, they found the body on the property, but that doesn't mean that she killed him. You know, I mean.
The Mr. Wiggs is good. I got to say, I watched a little bit of her testimony yesterday after we were texting. And I was going to go with Dr. Phil. It sounded like Dr. Phil was exact. So I'm like, why is Dr. Phil examining?
He was the original call. He was the original call from the chat. They had him pegged as Dr. Phil. He's like the love child of Dr. Phil, Mr. Garrison from South Park, and of course Hank Hill from King of the Hill. He's the love child of all three of them, I think.
Wow, that must have been an interesting night at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, right. Very weird.
Wow. Well, okay. So what's your prediction and how this is going to end up based on everything you saw?
Because of the defining evidence for me really is the fact that they're stuck on this two gunshot thing happen. And the evidence does not support that. I think that in and of itself is enough for them to come back with a guilty verdict. I think to me, that was the key piece of evidence. And I was frankly, I was surprised that the state didn't really hammer that home. Like they finally brought it up in the rebuttal closing that there simply aren't two gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
It would be one thing if the child had testified, well, I shot him in the tummy, you know, and then they just never like, he's all bones when they recover him. So they wouldn't see that wound. So,
sure.
And then they're covered for one gunshot. But the stories are that he was shot twice in the head and there's only one wound.
Why would you even go with that story if you know
it's going to be this?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, another one, another unsolved mystery, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Robert Stack in here.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.